Hey guys, Trip here. I just want to apologize because I hooked my microphone up incorrectly, and so my half of this conversation sounds terrible. I will make sure to not do that again. Hope you can listen anyway.
Welcome to Dissecting the 80s. I am Trip Lano, one half of the Mega Podcasting Powers, and with me, as always, is my tag team partner, a man who knows the true power of the power glove comes when you throw it in the garbage, the Macho Mandrew.
Andrew Leno. I wasn't sure if you were going to go with like a mushroom, like a power, mushroom power, or where it was going to
Oh,
go.
that would have been good. That would
A
have been
power up.
good. A man who gets who can learn to fly if you hand him a leaf.
And will become a raccoon for some reason.
No, don't question it too hard. Every other week, we dissect a piece of 1980s pop culture, usually movies, but sometimes we get a little crazy. This week, we're making dumb Nintendo jokes in honor of the Nintendo Switch because, and the film, we're about to dissect The Wizard from 1989. You know what that
We
means.
gotta go back. We gotta go dissect the 80s. It's your power glove. Something's gotta be done about your power glove.
When the mega powers explode.
I'm talking about the 80s.
Great Scott.
Cream of the crop.
Mega powers, yeah!
When this baby hits 88 miles per hour, you're gonna see some serious shit.
So right off the bat, let's just call this movie what it
A
is.
commercial?
It's over the top for children.
Oh.
Okay, it is a
yeah,
commercial.
over the top for children also is appropriate.
It is just straight up the movie Over the Top, but for children. And it has the truck from Over the Top in it, which means they're in the same
Wait,
universe.
what? Does it actually?
The truck that. What's the guy's name? Squeaky? Stinky?
Spanky.
Spanky. The truck that Spanky drives is the Hawk's towing truck. Or the Hawk's hauling, or whatever the hell it's called. And it even, according to the IMDb, has the name on it still, if you like freeze frame.
I did not know that.
So,
I also
shared
didn't know there was a
cinematic
trivia. I
universe
didn't know there was a
between.
trivia section for this.
There's a really long trivia
Well,
section for
now I
this
see
on
that.
IMDb.
22
Like
items.
it's a lengthy trivia section. It's also where I learned that the original cut of this movie was 2.5 hours
Not the
long,
original cut.
which
It was just an alternate cut. I mean, I agree that it is still
the original
too many hours.
it is too long for this movie by over an hour is how long that is. So yeah, as you said, this is The Wizard, which is just blatantly a commercial for the Nintendo Power Glove and Super Mario Bros. 3.
I wouldn't even call it an ad for the Power Glove because it's only in like one scene. It's more just like an ad for Nintendo, we should say.
I mean, yeah, that's true, but the Power Glove, when it comes up, is like pulled out of a case that needs like thumbprint identification and like synchronized key turns, and they act like it's amazing. And by all accounts, it is a terrible piece of crap.
So like, should we talk about the Power Glove in depth now, or should we wait till it comes up in the movie? Because I have a couple questions about the Power Glove.
I think we should. This is like a sneak preview of the Power Glove discussion. People have to listen to the whole episode if they want to get that. We're gonna make you listen to all of the conversation.
But I will say up
So we'll
front,
begin at the beginning.
if anybody has a Power Glove and wants to send it to us, we will happily accept. We will open a PO box just for the Power Glove.
If someone sends us a power glove, I will wear it at our next live
I
show.
will wear it in life. It'll be a new accessory.
I will wear the power glove on stage for an entire performance. And then probably throw it away because it'll be very sweaty.
Yeah, it's because it definitely doesn't breathe. If it's like all, I'm imagining,
No.
you know those like at home DDR mats, Dance Dance Revolution mats, I should
Yes.
say, for anyone who is mom.
Yes.
Hi, mom. I imagine it's just a glove made of that material.
It's either that or it's just like a dishwashing glove.
Because I know obviously the it's got it's a glove. It's essentially it looks like you glued a remote to a glove, like a remote control for a TV.
Yes.
So I don't think the glove it.
It's not like you did that.
It is that you did
It's
that.
not like you did that. It is what it is.
But okay, again, the movie explains it a little differently. Like it has more power than that, ability than that. I'm not fucking saying power. I'm not giving into the power. But I at first I was like, oh, the glove itself is just a regular glove. It just has a remote stuck to it. But then there's stuff that happens. I'm like, oh, maybe the there is like electronics and wiring in the glove itself.
Yes, it does have that capability. But let's talk about the movie, and we'll talk about the power glove when it comes up organically in the movie. Also, I forgot to say, I meant to say this before. From the corrections department, gorillas are herbivores, although we're still sticking to the King Kongs being carnivores or omnivores, obviously. So we like to get things right around here.
At least things that matter.
You know, facts. We like to have our facts.
Human rights.
So this movie starts...
And biology questions. These are the things that we care about.
Yes, exactly.
Those are the things that we care about. It's a very small list.
Yes.
There's a t-shirt right there. Things dissecting the 80s cares about. Accuracy. Human rights. Biology.
And then underneath the biology, whether or not that fall would constitute a bag of stuff.
Yes, yes, exactly.
Okay, so this movie starts out. We got like a...
2 minutes of little kid walking.
He's just lone wandering. Walking down the highway in the desert with no explanation of what's going on and very serious music.
And a list of, it's the credits, so you're seeing everyone's names who's in the movie, and how, like, it opens with Christian Slater, because at the time, I feel like he's, like, the one you want to, like, lead with. And I was like, wait, he's in this?
Yeah.
This is the year after he did Heathers. How is he in this movie immediately after?
I always had the suspicion that this movie sat around for a while. But it came up because it had the video game tie-in.
The very specific, this video game coming out tie-in. Like, it's not even like, oh, video games in general.
Yeah. Right, so yeah, I don't know. I guess they offered him money. Heathers probably wasn't like a big contract.
No, but I guess Heathers wasn't successful until way after the fact. I realize that now. I rescind my statement.
Also, that's going to be a TV show soon.
It looks like boiling garbage. It looks like New York City street garbage in the middle of a blackout, and there's no power or air conditioning anywhere in the city
during a sanitation strike.
Yes, yes, that is what this show looks like.
Anyway, so this kid is walking down the highway, and he's apparently insane, we find out, and they pull up the car next to him. Oh my god, okay, I can't believe I forgot this already. All right, so speaking of IMDb and this kid, do you have IMDb up right now?
What, are you talking about other stuff he's in, or he looks hot now? Because he looks hot now.
Do you have the trivia for this up still?
Yeah.
Can you scroll to the last item and just read it? Haven't looked at this, right?
No. Out loud?
Yeah, read it out loud. It's under the spoilers, the last one.
Exactly what mental disorder Jimmy Wood suffers from is never named in the film, though it is strongly implied to be autism. The filmmakers most likely decided not to mention autism by name in the film to avoid comparisons to Rain Man, 1988, released 1 year earlier. However, you can't get autism from your twin sister drowning.
On the internet that came out of left field and just is, that's just the best.
That I want on a t-shirt. That also I want on a t-shirt.
However, watching your sister drown doesn't cause autism. I am so glad that you hadn't looked at that so that you could have that reaction live.
Because I was like, this is just, yeah, okay, it's autism. I don't get what's special about this sentence. This movie is like, it's like the Who's Tommy and Rain Man got together.
Yes, with Over the Top.
Yeah, with Over the Top.
Yeah. Also in this crazy cast is Bo Bridges and Sam McMurray, who is that guy at the beginning of Christmas Vacation who like casually talks to Clark Griswold for 10 seconds.
Oh, that guy. Is he the stepdad in this movie?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yes, yes, the stepdad, yeah, yeah. He's been in a bunch of other stuff, too, but I was like, what is... Oh, yeah, he talks to Clark Griswold for 10 seconds. So, anyway, this kid is obviously stricken with some sort of illness. It obviously looks like autism, but as that astute IMDb trivia person pointed out, we learn later that he has this condition because he watched his sister drown, and that doesn't cause autism. No. So
well, I thought, isn't
we don't really know what's.
I don't know if it's like a real world thing, but I know it's a common movie thing where like a traumatic incident, and then you don't, you're mute, like you just are so traumatized you don't speak or anything. Like that's like a thing in movies.
Yeah.
So like it didn't seem.
Sure. Yeah, it's absolutely a trope.
I don't know. Do you know if that's real at all, Doctor?
I mean, yes. Excuse me. Let me call upon my vast medical knowledge that I got with my journalism degree. I don't know, but it seems plausible. But it might just seem
likely
because I've seen it in a lot of pop culture.
Yeah, like, because the movies have done it so much.
We've well established on the show that like most of our base knowledge of the world comes because there was either a movie or television show that referenced it. So I'm going to put that firmly in the maybe camp.
A solid possible.
Yeah. Like if you told me that was real, I would buy it. But again, I think it's just because I've seen it a bunch.
Exactly.
So he gets picked up by the police. And we quickly learn that there's been a divorce and that Fred Savage and Christian Slater live with their dad and their mom has a new stepfather. Nope, she does not. She has a new husband.
There's so much divorce in this family.
It's just divorces all the way down. But what I don't really get is, like, why did she end up with the one kid and then...
Also, why do they call him a half-brother?
Yeah.
Like when your parents divorce, you don't like become half siblings. That's not how that works.
Right. So like according to this movie, this is this woman's third marriage then.
It has to be then.
Yeah. Yeah. So she got married and had the twins, then she married Beau Bridges and now she's married Sam McMurray. Like that's the logic here, I guess.
That's the only way.
But later
they could be
it seems like they're all
cuz then she says take our boys home.
But then later it's like are they all going to live in some weird nuclear super family? What's that called?
Like a big love?
A compound of some kind? Yes, that's what I was going for, yes. Okay, let's do the movie. We're getting all over the place.
These are valid questions that I wrote. What does this family tree look like if he is their half-brother?
So this kid is mute from a traumatic event. We later learn it's because he watched his twin sister drown. He only says the word California, and he's constantly building things out of blocks, which they act like they explain later, but they definitely don't explain even a little bit.
No. If he had making them into the shape of certain things, I would believe it. But he doesn't. He just builds basic block towers.
Yeah, why doesn't he just, like, have a dinosaur obsession? That would make way more sense with the resolution of this movie.
Yes, it would have. He should be making dinosaur shapes out of blocks. He should be playing with toy dinosaurs. There should be a dinosaur theme.
He should just have an apatosaur toy that he just drags around by the neck. Like, it's very simple what you need to do here. Anyway, so this leads to a big fight with Fred Savage, Christian Slater, and Beau Bridges, where Fred Savage is like, hey, they're going to send our mute half-brother off to a sanitarium or whatever hand wave they're going to do. And Beau Bridges is like, well, he's not my kid, so yeah, whatever. And Fred Savage is like, you only care about yourself! And he storms out carrying a skateboard. And, like, not to be an asshole, but, like, it's not his kid! Like, he doesn't really have any say in the matter.
Yeah, like, I don't know what legal say he has if it's just his adopted kid. That he doesn't own, that he doesn't have any legal rights to now, because the adoption process ends.
Did you just say he doesn't own?
I did.
Did you just say he doesn't own?
I did. But I caught it and tried to reword it.
I'll have one of your finest kid.
Effectively, parents own children. Like, that's not a fit. That's not untrue.
I will have one of your finest non-mutes, please. My last one was a mute, and I had to return it.
It's like a deli counter. They're, like, hanging.
That's so really grisly.
No, I meant, like, by, like, a backpack.
I know, but just, like... There's a butcher who's like, 14, and Beau Bridges is there. He's like, yeah, I'm looking for like maybe a blonde. You got anything in a blonde boy? And the butcher just like pulls him off a hook and slides him over the counter.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a little weird thinner. World. It's a
little
weird
thinner.
weird. He puts him back and grabs the number one. Oh, that's really terrible. You want to sample this one?
Oh, God, what would that mean?
You want a free one for your kids?
Oh.
I don't know. Like, maybe you give him a quick hug, like, see how it feels. Like, he gives him a quick, like, pat hug, and he's like, no, he puts it back.
Puts it back up there. Or they're, like, they're napping in the glass case.
All tucked up with that fake lettuce. Yeah,
the green, the, like, frilly green stuff.
Uh-huh. Couple pieces of pineapple around them.
Yeah, cherry in the middle.
Oh. Yes, yes. Oh, that's really terrible. That's awful. That's so bad. We're going to hell. I hope you know. Like, if there is one.
I've been, like,
we're going in.
Like, I have a timeshare at this point.
We're getting express tickets.
We get fast pass.
Just like, here you go,
we have
kids.
Fast pass.
Yeah. There's no waiting in line.
It's just going to be like the buzzer and the trap door opens and you go straight down.
It's not even a chute. You just plummet. Yeah.
Fred Savage has those fish-shaped skateboards that we had from the, like, early mid-90s, which
the classic skateboard with only one heel.
Is it a classic look for a skateboard?
Yeah, see, like, your original skateboard.
Because because they disappeared, I always assumed that it was, like, a flash-in-the-pan 90s thing.
No, they got replaced by the ones you could do tricks on both sides of when they started, like, doing actual tricks on them.
Oh, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, the original boards were, like, literally flat. Like, there was no lip on the back at all.
We all saw Marty McFly invent it, Trip.
Yeah.
Well, we know they're
some
flat.
People might have missed that. If anyone is sincerely interested in skateboarding, the documentary Lords of Dogtown is really interesting about, like, the evolution of skateboarding.
I thought that was a movie.
I really enjoyed that.
I thought that was, like, a regular movie.
There's a shitty movie. Okay, so there's a movie and a documentary. One of them is called Dogtown and Z-Boys, and the other one is called Lords of Dogtown. The documentary is good. The movie is horseshit.
I'm pretty sure the movie is
Lords
of Dogtown.
Look them both up, I guess. Yeah, is it?
I think so.
The Legend of Dogtown and Z-Boys is a terrible title.
Yeah, it's a documentary.
I guess that's true.
It also Lords of Dogtown also sounds like a children's movie about, like, feudal puppies.
I was just going to say a shitty animated show.
Yeah, I don't think TV show. I think it's like a movie, like a tight 90-minute movie from, like, DreamWorks, like, subsection.
It's like
from the people who brought you Shark Tale and Over the Hedge and Romeo and Juliet.
Yes.
Comes the Lords of Dogtown.
And it kind of looks like Paw Patrol, the full grandmothers.
Yeah, it's a mockbuster. Lords of Dogtown is the movie version.
Okay, so The Legend of Dogtown and Z-Boys, which is a terrible title, is a pretty interesting documentary.
It's just Dogtown anyway. And Z-Boys. It's not Legend.
Oh. Well, I swear that was in there, because I remember thinking how dumb
that was.
It's
just Dogtown and Z-Boys.
Okay.
Which also sounds like a hip-hop version of Lords of Dogtown.
There's, like, a pretty offensive
The Puppy Power Hour, The Lords of Dogtown, and Dogtown and the Z-Boys. Coming up next on Disney Channel.
And, like, the lead of Dogtown and Z-Boys is, like, pretty offensive.
Oh, it's like horribly offensive?
Borderline, yeah. It's like, borderline blackface, even though it's animated dogs, and people are, like, really upset about it. That's how I imagine that happening.
I do, too.
Anyway, enough about fake animated dog movies.
Hey, maybe someone's listening. Maybe there's a pitch. Maybe someone's listening.
Hey, if you're going to make a bad animated dog movie, we will do voices in it.
And
we
write
will
it.
Work for your movie. We will do that. Disney Channel, give us a call. You need something to compete with that Paw Patrol.
Call 856-DISSECT.
Yeah. Get in touch. We will. You call us and we'll call you right back. We don't have that much going on. If you couldn't tell by the fact that we are roughly 20 minutes into this podcast and we have talked about this movie for 48 seconds, it is a really not good movie. It is super terrible.
I don't think it's as painful to watch as a lot of other things we've watched, but it's not good. Like, it's definitely in the, like, lower, like, it's the bottom third, I would say. The top of it, but, like, the bottom third of the ranking system.
That's a very convoluted way to say this is bad. But, yeah.
Because, no, to me, I watched this a lot as a kid. We rented it from the library, as opposed, like, it's definitely not, like, a, it was, like, a Blockbuster. And I, so, like, I have fond memories of, like, enjoying this and being like, oh, this is not good. Like, objectively, it's not good. But it is not, like, scoop out my eyeballs bad.
Right. Right. But it's interminably long. Anyway, so, Fred Savage is like, hey, we gotta save Jimmy. And then he's like, it smash cuts to, like, him in his room for no reason. And he's throwing darts at a poster, of, or a map of the United States, rather. Which, like, I know people think of that as random. And, like, it is. Like I said, like, I'm not good enough at darts that I can hit a bullseye with consistency. So if I was to throw a dart at the wall, it is relatively random. But, like, if you held up a map of the United States that's, like, 4 feet wide, I could aim at a quadrant of it and, like, get in a general area of the map. So he throws a dart and hits California and acts like it's this big epiphany. It's like, well, you just threw it at the left side of the map. Like, it's not that surprising that you hit California.
Well, he's also...
It's a big state.
Yeah, he's also... It feels a little like he's doing the pull the pedals off, he loves me not thing. Like, what do I do about my mute half-brother? Which in any other movie would be the start of, like, he is a murderer or powder.
Or, like, a serious drama, like Rain Man. Like,
it's oh, a weird, it could be a drama.
It's a weird, of, like, you know, gotta rescue the mute half-brother. Anytime, that's a mute half-brother is, like, a serious sentence. That's a lot, it's a lot of weight behind that.
Or it's a horror movie sentence.
No, I agree.
Because the only thing easier than getting a job at a facility like this is sneaking in and breaking someone out.
Well, I love that he somehow manages to find a hostess truck that's making a delivery at this institution where Jimmy is, stow away in it, get
Wait,
there.
He got there by out, hostess truck Jimmy. Too?
I thought that was the gimmick. How did he get there then?
Skateboarded? Walked?
Okay. I thought he got there by hostess truck. But he, in any case, he escapes with Jimmy in a hostess / Wonder Bread truck, which, like, in terms of ranking vehicles you'd like to stow away in as an 8-year-old, gotta be number one,
number,
right?
I think it's number two, because ice cream truck.
Okay, fair point. Actually, third, because Oscar Mayer Wienermobile, number one.
That's
obviously.
Totally true.
Yeah. Speaking of Oscar Mayer Wienermobile connected people are out there, I would really like to drive the truck. I would settle for doing it in a parking lot. I have asked on Twitter a bunch of times. So if anybody out there can make that happen, hashtag trip drives the Wienermobile.
I don't know if we're going to start that hashtag. I would think twice before we start that hashtag.
I think people know what the
As a member of the LGBT
is,
community.
And it's not a sex thing.
We should think twice before
I
we start
that. People... I think Wienermobile has been co-opted as a hot dog and not some sort of multi-man truck of sorts. I think everybody knows what the Wienermobile is.
I feel
is.
Like the Wienermobile could be like a sexual. Bathhouse on wheels. It'd be like an RV you turn into a bathhouse.
It's probably at Burning Man right now.
And then
probably a permanent installation.
No, it's between Burning Man, Fire Island, and Provincetown.
And Coachella.
And Coachella, for sure. It just
loops the country. Well, I'll drive that too.
Oh God, you
honest,
don't want to drive
as exciting,
that.
Not as exciting as the hot dog shaped vehicle, but I'll take it. Frankly, any comically food shaped truck, if the Mr. Peanut truck is around and wants me to
Wait,
drive
that's a
it,
thing?
Hashtag
the Mr.
Trip
Peanut truck is
Mr.
a thing.
Mr. Peanut truck? Yeah, it's a giant peanut.
I would drive that. We should drive them dually.
I have an affinity. That's it. You and I drag race the Wienermobile and the Mr. Peanut truck. Somebody make this happen. Somebody make this
but
happen. We will
have
put it on
be,
the internet. Somebody do
but
that.
We have to be dressed as the food we're driving. So I will.
100% and eating it.
Yes. Well, they can't be shelled. I can't eat shelled peanuts. They have to. I mean, like in the shell.
No, 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 no.
Like a jar.
Like a jar of Planters. Yeah, you have to. You have to get. You have to eat. We'll do it by weight. You'll have peanuts and I'll have hot dogs, and you have to like consume the food, run into the truck, and start the race.
Yeah, I like that. It'll be like I'll have like shot glasses of peanuts, and you'll have just rows of hot dogs, and we have to like throw them back real quick.
Yeah, I'll be like Kobayashi, just like pounding them down, dipping the buns in water. So anyway, if you're out there and you have a connection to food-shaped vehicles, 856-DISSECT, please, or on Twitter at Dissectomania. We want to drive your weird-shaped vehicle.
And wear your power glove.
That'd be a famous weird-shaped vehicle. If you're out there with a food truck in the shape of, like, a loaf of bread or something.
A taco. If you are a taco truck, looks like a taco, let me know, please.
Yeah, we would like to eat and advertise your tacos. So, they stay away in this thing, and then, you know, the parents realize the kids are missing, and this is where the movie goes off the rails, and we're only, like, 20 minutes into it, because they introduce this bounty hunter character.
When I was remembering this movie, I thought it was Eugene Levy. Like, in my head, I was like, that's who that character was.
That makes this movie 1,000 times more entertaining. 1,000 times more entertaining.
Yep.
Because Eugene Levy could pull that off without looking like a child molester. And the actor that they cast, God bless this man, looks like a child molester. He's balding, he's wearing creepy small glasses, and a bolo tie, and his shirt is unbuttoned too far. You can't have all four of those!
Yeah, that's too much. Too much abort mission.
Pick two! You can have two. Once you get to four of those, you're unacceptable in the movie. Because it looks like you're a kid toucher, and your job is collecting children. It's not good.
You're like that creepy dude in Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Yes. Also, in addition to being shitty over the top, this movie is a shitty midnight run of, like, a bounty hunter running across the country and battling with kind of another bounty hunter, even though Beau Bridges and his son aren't bounty hunting. It's the same kind of gimmick of, like, rushing to catch these people.
You know who I think also who, like, doesn't make sense why he didn't play the stepdad is Judge Reinhold.
Yes, that would have been great too. I don't think it was a big enough part for Judge Reinhold in 1989. I think that's, like, peak Judge Reinhold.
Well, when was Gremlins? Because he is, like, in Gremlins for three lines and then disappears.
Isn't Gremlins, like, 84?
Oh, maybe it is. This is more like
Beverly Hills Cop.
The
era
Santa Claus.
Judge Reinhold. Yeah, well, that's after this, but yes. Unrelated entirely, and I'll probably cut this out, but I was explaining the podcast to somebody, and they were like, oh, do you do a lot of John Hughes movies? And I was like, I don't think we've done any John Hughes movies. And she was like, why? I was like, well, they're good? And then I was like, wait, most of them are probably really problematic now, aren't they?
So yeah, they are. Look at us, like, you, Breakfast Club, you piece of shit.
Wait, Breakfast Club is what you go to, not Long Duck Dong and Pretty in Pink?
I mean, that too. But, like, I have way more experience. Like, I was more entrenched in Breakfast Club than I was Pretty in Pink. Because Pretty in Pink was aimed at everyone with a vagina and demanded they had the same experience as Molly Ringwald.
So, Jimmy and Fred Savage are at this arcade and...
We use the phrase arcade real loosely in this movie. Like, anywhere that there's more than two standing video game machines, it's an arcade.
Yeah, they go to one actual arcade, which is inexplicably located in a casino before Vegas turned into, like, bring your family, it's a wholesome family town, except we killed people a lot and there's hookers.
So,
I mean, yay!
Is Reno Las Vegas? Are they the same thing?
No.
Okay.
Reno is to Las Vegas what the casino where you can play war... And guess which hand I'm holding the coin in Vegas Vacation?
Mm-hmm. Is two.
Like, that's Reno.
Oh, that's Reno. Got it.
That Reno is more like that casino, as far as I'm aware.
Okay.
We're besmirching the fine Renoians that are probably listening to this podcast in horror. I've never been to Reno. I'm sure it's a nice place. But my image of Reno is, like, it's a step down from Vegas.
Is it, like, close, I assume?
I mean, close-ish, I guess.
I was like, this feels like I'm supposed to think this is Las Vegas, but there's lots of signage for Reno.
Yeah, it's, I think it's in the vicinity of Vegas. I don't think they're like 20 minutes from each other, but they're close enough.
Gotcha.
So they're at a bus station and Jimmy starts playing Double Dragon while Fred Savage tries to buy bus tickets and he gets 50,000 points on it, which I guess is exciting.
While a 12-year-old reading Cosmo watches.
Yes. Well, which is Jenny Lewis, by the way, who you probably know as the lead singer of Rilo Kiley.
Or as the little girl in the teddy bear episode of the Golden Girls.
I think most people know the fairly famous indie rock band Rilo Kiley and not the semi-obscure episode of Golden Girls that you're referencing. But maybe...
Hey, you don't know.
Also, someone who probably has like two or three solo albums that are pretty good sellers too, so... no slouch, that Jenny Lewis. They get into a fight, And or eventually they decide to have a bet where they bet Jimmy versus Jenny Lewis, and he wipes the floor with her, and they make her cash in her bus ticket, and they take her money. And then they end up, like, going to a diner together because they missed the bus. And this is where, like, the dialogue in this movie, which is not good up until this point, but really gets insane, where she's like, I didn't know he was a video head like me. He's a real wizard. Like, no one has ever called themselves
Nobody
or anyone
ever
else
said
those
that.
Things.
Yay, sexy Randall, the Pharaoh wizard.
Exactly. That, like,
this movie feels like it was written by a mom, and I'm just going to say it. It feels like it was written by a mom.
That is so accurate. That's so accurate.
You can't pause. You're getting too many points. Just pause your game. Video games don't pause like that anymore,
it's
Mom.
Online. It's online, Mom. I can't pause. I'm playing with a bunch of other people. Jerry's from Malaysia.
And he's kicking my ass.
I just want a peanut butter sandwich. It's not that much to ask. That is very accurate.
I'll explain more later. Like, when we get to the crux and the big climax, I will explain why this movie was written by a mother.
Oh, yeah, you said it, and I immediately flashed forward to the end of the movie, and I was like, yeah, all that dialogue is written. It's just monologue, is what that is. That's not dialogue.
It's monologue.
like if you asked any mother to explain how video games work in 1989, this is what you would get.
Exactly. It's like when there was a thing, like a trend going around Tumblr, where it was, here's pictures of all of the fighters in the next Super Smash Brothers game. Go to your mom and ask her what their names are. And like,
I remember this.
And Ben,
I remember Ben's mom were really funny.
Oh, he's
your friend. I think
his mom is British, and it's wonderful to hear her try and name these things. So I showed Mom, and she was like, I don't know. Oh, that one. That's it's the monkey one. What's the monkey one? He's the big guy. It's the monkey. It's King Kong.
Like, well, kind of.
Not off,
I guess.
So they're at a restaurant with TVs.
And that's not an indictment of our mother.
Oh, no. Absolutely not. She gets a lot.
we're talking about mom's period with
like
our mom gets a lot of shit from us on this podcast. This in particular is an indictment of all moms, not just our mom.
Like Bev in The Goldbergs wrote this movie.
Yeah.
They're at one of those restaurants that have TVs in the table that I forgot existed until I saw it in this movie. And
I almost bought one of these tables a couple years ago.
Like for like your coffee table?
It was too expensive. Well, it was going to be my dinner table, but it was very expensive, but it had someone had like remade it essentially and I put new guts in it, and it had like 50 games in it.
That's
and I think
awesome.
They were selling it for like a grand. No, yeah, it was dope as hell. And you could play two-player on most of them, and it had, like, a really good assortment of games. But I was just like, you know, I just don't think I could spring for this money. Although now that I'm thinking about it, you could probably make one with a Raspberry Pi and an old tube television for, like, very little money. I should do
100%.
That. 100%. Anyway. Yeah.
And she's like, if he can beat me, why can't he beat anyone? And I was like, we had no establishment that you were good at video games, little girl.
Nope. Nope, you were reading a Cosmo and wearing a disguise.
Like, nothing about this is like, unless you're like hiding from the video game police. Like, I don't. Like, I don't see why.
I'm picturing the T-1000 being like, "Have you seen this girl? She scored 100,000 points in Donkey Kong.
We need.
Have you seen this girl?
We need her to build the pyramids."
There's going to be a lot of references to an episode of the Clerks cartoon. That's the second one already.
We should probably link to it.
There's literally only like there's like maybe four other people on the planet Earth who have watched that other than the two of us. And Gig probably.
Well, now we're
going to
tag Kevin Smith.
Just put it out there. Yeah, it's true. That's true. Maybe we'll tag him, the Goldbergs. We're just referencing all sorts of stuff.
But they also, I feel like when they write like Streetwise Kids, the dialogue always gets cranked up too mature, and I'm like, oh, you sort of had it, and then she's like, you think I'd hang around a pair like you for my health? And I was like, that you were 13 years old, that is not in your vocabulary.
you're not fucking John Wayne. Like, what are we doing here?
Yeah, or who is the dude in Streets of Fire? Like, that sounds like a line he would have said.
Yes, yes. That I don't remember the character or actor's name, but yes, the main guy in Streets of Fire would totally have said that. So the bounty hunter's looking for him, and again, like, he just keeps showing people pictures of these children, and is like, have you seen these kids? And, like, if this guy asked me if he saw the kids, I would call the police. Like, he looks... don't do this if you're driving, but close your eyes right now, and picture in your head a caricature of a child molester. That's what this guy looks like. Whatever you pictured is this guy. Like, I guarantee the image in your head that you have is this guy. And he's running around, like, interrogating children, grabbing them by, like, the collar and stuff. And it's crazy what he's doing. Like, it's totally crazy.
Horrifying. But also, at this point, Beau Bridges catches, like, pulls up next across the street from him. And his response is to go stab his tires with a pocket knife. And, like, Brosif,
yeah, the dude's a nutter.
If your skill level of a bounty hunter is evenly matched by yokel dad who brought a tree for no reason and his moody son, then, like, maybe get a career path. Try Phoenix Online.
maybe enroll in DeVry. Yeah, like Andrew said, Beau Bridges owns a landscaping company, and the back of the truck is just full of landscaping tools. There's a lawnmower back
and
there.
And a sapling. Tree. Why is there a sapling?
I don't know.
Did you think you were just going to get work on the road as you were trying to find your son?
They were going to find the kid and plant a tree where they found him, I guess.
Maybe, yeah.
It's a symbolic gesture. But I like that Beau Bridges comes outside, sees that his tires are popped, and, like, sees the Weasley bounty hunter guy, and grabs a shovel and just starts, like, wailing on his car.
But he doesn't smash windows or a windshield, which I thought was lame.
Yeah, I immediately got upset, because the first move is the windshield. If you're trying to make sure the guy doesn't drive away...
You shatter that windshield.
Yeah, you just keep swinging at it.
Although he did take off the
headlights,
mirror.
He breaks off the mirror. Yeah, but, like, you break that windshield. So we cut to the kids have gotten away and they're in the back of a truck, and the Jenny Lewis is babbling on about how, like, truckers have a code
and her mom has great legs.
Just, like, counting this. Oh God. Oh my God. That's not even the whole line.
My mom is a showgirl. She had great legs. I think I have her legs. What do you think, Fred Savage?
What are we doing in this movie? What are we doing here? Who is that for? Who is that for? Is this movie for child molesters? Is that why the third lead is a child molester? Like, what are we doing here? That line is pedophilia. Like, that's what that is.
It's weird.
So they flash this big wad of cash in the back of this truck, which is, like, just fucking stupid.
I mean, they're kids.
And
they're
then
kids.
The guys... I know, but so the guys pull over, and there's, like... He chases Fred Savage around this truck, and eventually he catches them, and he takes all their money and leaves them on the side of the road. So they, like, hitchhike to a pizza parlor that has... arcade cabinets, and this is, like, this whole movie is stupid, but, like, this is the most unbelievable scene in the whole thing.
Yeah, it is.
Because there's two dudes, there are two men playing at this arcade game who they both immediately pegged to be salesmen somehow, which, like, I guess Fred Savage is a, I don't even know what you would be to be able to know that information, but whatever it is, he's
a savant?
And, yeah, and these two dudes are, like, wearing suits with their sleeves, like, their jackets off, but sleeves rolled up, and, like, hammering away on this arcade cabinet. And Fred Savage walks over and, like, challenges them to a duel, and he immediately accepts, and he gets hustled by Jimmy. And it's like, there's no way at all that grown men were just casually, like, getting hustled at arcade cabinets in pizza
parlors. I don't know, there was a lot of cocaine happening. Not on screen, not that we saw, but implied. Yeah.
But, like, still, like, I don't think a lot of dudes in their mid-50s were doing cocaine and then playing Double Dragon. Like,
I mean,
I don't think that's how that went.
That does sound like a very 80s sentence. Turn down the Cyndi Lauper and pass the cocaine. I gotta beat my high score in Double Dragon.
So they hustle these old dudes out of their money. And this is the first of, like, 9 scenes. Well, I guess their legs is the first one. But the second of many depressing scenes where Jenny Lewis starts talking about her home life.
Tough kid is lonely just, like, trope.
But it's not tough kid is lonely. It's tough kid has literally been abandoned by her whole family and is alone on the road.
Yeah, well, I mean, they don't say it yet. They imply it, but they don't say it outright yet.
Well, she says some depressing stuff, and then Fred Savage, like, puts on a Halloween mask that I'm not sure where he was able to procure.
And he punches. And she punches him. And knocks him the fuck out.
Yeah, the next scene he has, like, a pink, like a little bit of a bruise under his eye, and I was bummed that it wasn't, like, a full-on black eye, but I guess that would have been kind of detrimental to the movie. So we have a hitchhiking montage.
They ride on the back of Harleys with helmets, and it's adorable.
Yeah, no, I do like that very much. The Hell's Angels with the kids on the back, and then hustle some kids at a diner, and like immediately when they go to bet these kids, Fred Savage pulls out the entire wad of cash, and it's like, hey, dude, you got robbed like 8 minutes ago in this movie. Like, I know you're dumb, but that happened less than a day ago in your life. And for us as the audience, less than 10 minutes ago, put that shit in your pocket and just take out a 20 or two 20s. Why are you taking out the wad?
Yeah, he's so dumb. And then the woman from Donnie Darko, who's like the bitch woman.
Oh my god.
Yeah, because I was like, what is she from? I know that face.
Oh, man.
I question your commitment to Sparkle Motion. I don't really like that movie, but I use that line all the time.
Oh, man. I was wondering what the hell she was from.
Yep, Donnie Darko. You're welcome.
So, Lucas goes to play... This is when they play that kid, right?
Lucas.
The kids of the thing are like, well, you might have beat us, but you could never beat Lucas. And they're like, who's that? And it does like a flip wipe to Lucas.
Star wipe.
And I love this entrance... I don't think it's a star wipe.
No, you know what it is?
It's a mushroom.
No, it's not even. It's they look at the camera and they go, oh, and it goes, and it zooms in on the face and pulls back out, and they're at Lucas's house.
No, it's the thing that happens at the end of a stage in Super Mario Brothers, where like it fades to black. And
oh yeah, like it's Super Mario Brothers 3, as we'll see later.
Yes. So that happens, but then. Lucas, like, comes out of his house, and there's, like, a perfect wind blowing his well-coiffed Rambo hair, and there's fucking wind flutes.
Pan flutes, like, I think, is what you're trying to go for. Is pan flute the word?
Pan flute?
I think so.
I thought it was called a wind flute.
I don't... A wind flute just sounds like a flute you put outside and hope for the best.
That's kind of what it sounds like. Yeah, I mean, it's basically that, like, Wild West, like, the tumbleweed goes by, and like, wah, wah, wah. But they're, like, new agey, like, ooh. Like, it's like an Enya fucking
thing. Basically, like, it's 80s synth pan flute, which I feel like if you don't understand it, when I say that, you don't instantly hear something, you don't understand it. You'll never get it.
Yeah. But, so, like, he comes out, and he's like, bring it to me.
No, he says, you the wizard? As though this kid already has a reputation.
Well, to be fair, Jenny Lewis has been calling him a wizard for like 18 minutes of the movie now, so that reputation travels quickly.
Lol, a power glove.
And yeah, they bring out, like I was talking about before, like this insane procedure to get the glove out of the box.
It steams and smokes as they raise the lid.
Yeah. And it like rises up and he like puts his hand into it and like gets shot by lightning. Like it's fucking ridiculous.
It's almost like that scene in like season one of Buffy with the gauntlet of doom that the one librarian woman wanted.
Oh yeah, they like put her through the trial.
No, she like puts it in and then hooks dig it into her arm and then she like raises it up in the air and it's like electric.
Oh yes, I do know what you're talking about now.
I cannot remember anything else about the episode. Angel's in it. So that tells you something. Angel's in it.
Yeah. It's in the first few seasons. Yeah. Yeah.
And he uses it like a Wii remote.
Yes. So it did have that capability.
Okay. That's the thing. Okay.
Yeah. So you had to like I've watched a couple of YouTube videos about like how it worked, and you had these like two really shitty sensors you had to like rig up on the top of your TV, and apparently it was awful. Like
it never worked. It would
lag crazy. Yeah. And then you had to, like, you know, type on it with one hand and move it around with the other. But he's racing a car, so he's essentially driving with one hand with this stupid power glove. And because of the power glove, he beats Jimmy.
I thought Jimmy didn't play.
Advertisement.
He ran away, but does he ever come back in and play?
Oh, I just assumed he did.
Oh, I mean, because later they say, like, oh, you lost once. I was like, when did he lose?
Yeah, I assumed he played Lucas. I guess, I don't know. So there's the, that sets up our Chekhov's.
I love the power
pan
glove.
Flute villain.
It's so bad.
it is literally bad. It is literally not good. So then we cut to Beau Bridges and Christian Slater hanging out in a shitty motel. I'll be honest with you. I think I would watch the 90-minute version of the movie where Bo Bridges and Christian Slater go on a road trip together.
I would watch fuck out of that movie.
And they just get, like, super into Nintendo and shitty
but
motels.
I want to see them make that now, like, the sequel to The Wizard.
Like, old-ass Bo Bridges and Christian Slater are driving across country.
Yeah, still playing a Super Nintendo.
Ooh, no, it's just a regular Nintendo.
No, it
Ooh,
is.
Ooh, I bet, you know what it could be? Like, Bo Bridges is dying, and it's like his last wish.
His last wish. That sounds like a Lifetime or a Hallmark movie. The Last Witch.
The Last Witch. No, he has like his final wish is to go back to the site of to the dinosaur with his kids, and you have grown-up Fred Savage, you have Christian Slater, you have Jenny Lewis, because her and Fred Savage got married, obviously, yeah. and Christian Slater, and like, they meet, like, so it's Christian Slater and Bo Bridges, and they're driving, and they, like, at some point stop, and they hang out for a bit with Fred Savage and Jenny Lewis, right? And then they go and visit Jimmy, and Jimmy's, like, a famous video game designer now.
Oh, yeah, I like that.
And it's just a road movie with Bo and Christian Slater. I would totally watch that movie. Probably more interesting than this movie, I would wager.
Okay, so Power Gloves on eBay are about $75.
Yeah, they're not cheap. They are not cheap. It would be a big gift if someone sent that to us.
Oh, I would assume someone had it like in their attic and like didn't give a shit about it.
Yeah, no, probably, but they're not valueless. But anyway, they're in this atrociously shitty motel room, and the bed is so loud and creaky when Bo Bridges gets in it that like my back hurt just watching the movie. I was like, man, you're fucked for like the rest of that trip. You're driving in a pickup truck.
It took me back to when we went around Pennsylvania on a zombie road trip. It was similar to that motel hotel we stayed in.
Except we stayed in like a chain motel that like someone had defo been murdered in the adjacent room in recent days because there was a rusty brown stain in front of the door.
Yeah, he was trying to escape, running through the door, and he got shot. That's what happened.
This is not a bit. Like, we stopped at this motel and it looked not great. But we'd already booked it, and it was like midnight or 1 a.m. We were exhausted, and it's like we're just gonna go to sleep. And we started walking down the hallway, and we both looked at the stain, and we both looked at each other, and our faces were like instantaneous. You had just graduated high school, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so I would have been like 23-ish then, 22, 23, and we both looked at the stain, and we both looked at each other, and we both knew that was blood. Like, it was 100% that was blood.
You said hallway. It's more like the, like, old school motels where you walk, it's out, all the doors face outside. So you, like, walk down.
Yeah, yeah, it's like a cement.
Concrete path, yeah. But it wasn't like a carpet.
No. It was concrete that was rusty stained. Like, it was 100% blood. And we made eye contact, and we both just kind of looked away from each other. And we went into the room, and it was like, you could feel the gross, like, you could feel the room wasn't very clean. And so we looked at the beds, and I was like, I'm just going to sleep on top of it, I think. And you were like, yeah, that's probably a good idea. So we went in the bathroom, and we took the towels, and I was like, well, we know these can get bleached because they're white. So we put the towels down on top of the bed, and we both had, like, sweatshirts with us. So we both went to sleep in, like, I was wearing jeans. I remember that. Like, I undid the button, but I was still wearing jeans. I didn't even take my socks off. Like, I laid down on top of the bed with a sweatshirt with the hood pulled up on this pillow, or on this towel, and we both tried to get to sleep to the sounds of, like, two dudes having a fight next door that were, like, yelling at each other a lot, and we were definitely sure that we were going to get shot and or murdered or whatever.
I was waiting for, like, a bullet hole in the wall. Like,
oh, yeah. And it was one of those, like, the window was right there, so there was no security. Like, someone could just, like, smash the window open and be, like, 6 inches from my body. I was like, you go, I'll take the bed near the window, you take the other bed. Like, I put myself in harm's way for you, and was like, I'll be in the way at least, I guess. And
yeah, where am I going to go if they smash the window? Into the bathroom?
yeah, it's all you can do. And then we woke up the next day, and there was only, like, a single bar of soap in the bathroom. No shampoo, no nothing else. So we both took, like, the shittiest showers ever. But my favorite part of the whole thing is you got a shower, and then I went in to shower, And then I came back out, and you had gotten sucked into Ghosts of Girlfriends Past. And so you were just, like, sitting on the edge of this bed in this, like, supernatural level motel of, like, disgusting Sam and
the Dean show Supernatural
garbage, $40 a night. Yeah. And I was like, all right, let's go. And you were like, uh-huh. And I had to do, like, three nudges before I was like, hey, can you stop watching Ghosts of Girlfriends Past and we can leave this horrible place that we stayed in?
It was a lovely break from the horror show I was living in. I'll watch Matthew McConaughey be a gross misogynist. It's better than the sounds of problem misogyny downstairs.
Super fun trip, but, like, the worst. And it's funny, like, I don't know why. I guess I wasn't aware that, like, had I left and they didn't refund my money, my credit card company would have been like, why'd you leave? And I'd have been like, there was a bunch of bloodstains in the hallway. And they'd have been like, oh, here's all of your money back. We're so sorry.
Yeah.
But I guess we just didn't want to try to find another place, too.
The other option would be like, let's drive to a Walmart and sleep in the car.
We'll park under a light and just deal with it.
Yeah.
So I don't recommend whatever that hotel was outside Pittsburgh with the bloodstain.
But
I hope we've told that story to Mom before.
We did.
That's not
oh,
the
we
first
did.
Time she's hearing
we,
it. Because okay.
She was like, okay. What? And I was...
We I remember getting in the car and saying, we can never tell Mom about this hotel. And you were like, absolutely. And we shook hands and then we left.
It was years later. It was like, I think I was graduating college. And we were like, hey, Mom, so here's the tea.
Yeah. I don't know if this is a thing for other people, but I definitely have, like, an internal statute of limitations for, like, dumb shit that I did.
That, like, I can tell Mom
tell
about.
My parents about. Yeah.
I think
yeah,
so.
Like, when I was, like, 12 or 13, I wrestled in the backyard with my friends, and I got my head split open, like, really badly, and I should have had stitches. And for some reason, I thought they'd be mad about that, even though it was essentially an accident. And I just never told them. I, like, hid it from them for a couple days and, like, dealt with this huge wound in my head. And then, like,
you lived the
ago,
life of Chip
like,
from
oh,
Beauty
by the
and
way.
Beast.
Yeah. Like, if a few years ago, I finally was like, oh, by the way. And they were like, you're an idiot. We would have just taken you to the hospital. Like, yeah, I know. I get that now.
In retrospect, yes. So they played the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle
anyway,
game.
Anyway, this movie's not good. Yes.
Which I was like, oh, I loved that game. It was so hard. And then Christian Slater's like, it's this weird scene where he's like trying to have a tender moment with his dad and be like, I'm really happy I'm here with you, Dad. That wasn't a good Christian Slater.
It was actually an all right Christian Slater. I was like, oh, he's really doing it. Oh. I mean, it's not good, but like I got what you were doing.
Okay.
I got it. I got that it was Christian Slater.
Okay, cool. We can keep that.
If you had a trench coat on, I would have known exactly who you were.
Yeah, I'd have to like part my hair in the middle and like kind of make that face that's like, do you understand my joke?
A Christian Slater impression is like an almost Jack Nicholson.
That's what I was gonna say. I was like, it sounds like Jack Nicholson, the Jack Nicholson impression in the movie Aladdin.
Yes, it's an almost Jack Nicholson.
So he like storms out in his underwear to grab the Nintendo out of the back of the pickup truck. Why he brought it, I don't really know, but.
Because he fixed it, and he thought that was going to be, like, a symbolic gesture to Fred Savage, I think.
Oh, that makes sense. And so he, like, plugs it in angrily, and he's like, what game is that? And he's like, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And he's like, what? He's playing Ninja Turtles, and they're, like, smiling and laughing for a moment. And then it, like, smash cuts to someone waking up in the bed while someone is playing video games. And you're like, oh, that's definitely Christian Slater in the bed, and Beau Bridges has been up all night, like Stewie. Compasses West is where we're headed.
Yes. And I actually really love it because Beau Bridges, I will say this, like we talked before about brother actors on the show with like Randy Quaid and Dennis Quaid and how like we both vastly prefer Randy Quaid.
Yeah.
There's no question that Jeff Bridges is the better actor, but I will say that like I've never watched Beau Bridges and not felt like he was trying his hardest. Which is like
yeah,
worthy of something, I feel
well,
like.
Also, this is
like he's in this god-awful movie, and he's really, like, trying hard in this movie.
I also will say that it is some of the best playing video game acting I've ever seen. Like, I was like, oh, that's actually what people do when they play video games. It wasn't like what, like on NCIS when it's like, this person has never looked at a game controller in their life, and they're like, here, play this game.
You know what I think helps? The Nintendo only had, like, the D-pad and the two buttons. And, like, when they hand somebody a modern Xbox controller, it's just all buttons and switches. And so people are just, like, mashing all of them. And so Bo Bridges was just mashing the two buttons, but that was essentially all Nintendo games. Like, yeah. One button was jump and one button was punch, and you had to spam them. So him was it just, the like, two buttons, mashing the buttons looks like...
Was it 4 yet?
No, that was Super Nintendo.
Okay.
The Nintendo had... It was this, the rectangle. It had A and B and start and select. So and some games used select as, like, a function. Yeah.
Okay.
I think that really helps, but... Yeah, I think that helps, though. You're right. Like, he does look realistic playing it, but I think it's because there's only, like, three options available to him. So it's not like he had to...
No, but...
Because, like, you hand some... if you hand our mom an Xbox controller and be like, here, pretend to play a video game, she's got, like, 42 buttons to contend with.
Yeah, I guess in my head, like, for me, it's intrinsic, like, what you're supposed to be doing, but I know on a PS4 controller, there's the two, like, swivel-y directional things, and then the D-pad, and then the four buttons.
Yeah, I'm holding my Xbox controller right now. There are 8 buttons, plus the start and select style buttons, plus a D-pad, plus 2 joysticks. Like, that's a lot of...
Does that include the triggers and the sub-triggers?
Like, yeah. So well, four triggers and sub-triggers, 4 buttons. It's just a lot. It's a lot also
has
to deal with.
The PS4 also has a touchpad, like a pushable touchpad.
Yeah.
Which makes it even more confusing.
Right. So...
But, like, he's also doing the thing where, like,
people are confused.
When you want to go right, you, like, lean your whole body and push the controller to the right thing that people totally do.
Yeah. Yeah, you're immersed in there. I get it. I'm with you. So the kids have spent the night at a drive-in, which is amazing, but also sad because it's closed. And Jimmy is building a popcorn igloo, and Fred Savage, like, freaks out on him and throws it around. And it's like... really hard to comprehend why this bothers him when it's been Jimmy's status quo for, like, a whole movie.
I guess because he thought he was getting better for some reason, and then he was like, nope, I'm still building stuff out of popcorn boxes. I'm the same.
Right. And Jenny Lewis is wearing a sweet overalls and wide belt combo.
Yeah, it is lovely. I noticed
that, but it's pretty dope.
Oh, of course I noticed that.
Also, she has a
this
Mary
is also the
Poppins...
scene where I realized...
also, she has a Mary...
her carpet bag?
Yes, she has a literal Mary Poppins carpet bag. Like, the actual bag from Mary Poppins, I think.
But this is where she reminds me of Andy from the Goonies.
Yeah, for sure.
And then the kids they hustled before drive up in their truck, and they're like, oh no, it's them! And they start to, like, I hate when they build tension, like, we're gonna run away from them, but they give it, like, a second, and then they're caught. Like, don't bother.
Well, I mean... I think everybody's instinct is to run, but it's like you're on foot and they're in a truck. It's not, there's not anywhere to go.
Yeah. So they, like, give us our money back. And I was like, what I wanted was this is where the world turns into a video game and Jimmy kicks their ass.
He just does, like, double dragon punch flips and stuff.
Bubble.
Oh, he climbs up on the hood. He climbs up on the hood of the truck and jumps on their heads.
Yes. Like, he blinks and the world turns into cartoons. That's what I wanted.
Have you seen that thing where, like, the secret horror of the Super Mario Brothers universe, that all of the enemies that you kill in that game are, like, people imprisoned by Bowser?
Yes, and how all of the blocks and things have faces on them? And you shatter them?
Yeah. You're just literally murdering innocent people on your way through that game.
Yeah, why not?
So,
kill them all.
Yeah, so they get robbed. Yeah, of course, why not? They get robbed, and this is like, oh, by the way, this movie is a huge bummer section, because they've now been robbed, and Jimmy's, like, little case got spilled open, and it revealed he had all his little sister's artifacts in it. And they go into the office of the drive-in, and as a movie enthusiast, I was deeply upset to see this, like, pile of discarded drive-in speakers. But so they talk about the dead sister... and about how she drowned. Fred Savage says, it was really hard for Jimmy and for Nick, but apparently not him, because he doesn't mention that at all.
I was fine. Those pussies?
Like, oh, what are you sad because our family member passed?
Because you watched our sister drown? Kid.
Yeah. Yeah. Not like the best look. They decide to quit, and then Jimmy finally speaks and says, Corey, I don't want to quit. And... he finally
they
speaks
lose their mind,
like 50
yeah.
minutes into the movie.
And
yeah, they have like a big
and,
party.
What's her name? Not Jenny Slate. Jenny Lewis. I can't remember her character's name. It wasn't helpful. Young Andy from the Goonies like runs yes. over and hugs him. I was like, girl, you've known them like 2 days. You yeah. should not care as much about this.
No, you're really committed to some people who you have actively claimed to hate for like all the time you've known them. So
there's another Bobridge scuffle between Dad and the bounty hunter.
Yeah. So Bobridge smashes into his car 2 different times.
It's like 4 times.
Well, Bo does like a smash and then a reverse smash, and then the bounty hunter really smashes into him and totally cripples Bo's car.
So in this scene, there is an old man sitting on a porch drinking a beer and watching this happen, and they keep cutting to him.
Yes.
And he's like my new aesthetic and like squad goal. Like that's new goals for me.
He doesn't shit
say
about
a
this
word
happening at all.
Just is there enjoying this happening. That would be me. That's what I
yeah,
want to
it's
do.
Like, his attitude is like, it's a nice day, I got a beer, now I got a show.
It's a whole thing.
Yeah. So that ruins Bo's car, and they cut away, and now the kids are in Reno. And I don't know if you noticed this, but the kids are getting driven into Reno, and it's played like it's Vegas with like the strip and the lights and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And they show this clock, and it says 11:37, and then they cut to the kids, and they're like, what is this? And she's like, Reno. And then they cut back the other direction, and the clock is now saying 12:01. And, like, that's something nobody's going to notice. But apparently they looked at each other for a full 24 minutes before they looked back around. Actually, no. It goes backwards. 12:01 is first, and then it's 11:37. Because I was like, it's really weird that they filmed the scene at midnight. Because the
children.
Unless they have... Yeah. But it was 12:01 and then 11:37. So apparently they filmed all the exteriors, and then they cut them in out of order, which I really appreciated. So Jenny calls up, what's the guy's name? Squeaky?
Spanky?
Spanky, yes.
Spanky.
Her father's trucker friend. Yeah, Spanky. Not Alfalfa. Spanky. And she plays craps by remote, where she just tells him how to bet, and they win every single time.
And she seems to have a lot of skill, and knows a lot about a game that I'm pretty sure is pure chance.
Oh yeah, craps is 100% chance.
Craps and roulette are both
chance.
You roll
dice and...
Right?
Yes, there is no skill involved. Yeah, there's no skill involved at all. They win a bunch of money, and then they give Spanky like $10 for his troubles after getting thrown out of the casino. And she is like, oh, okay, it's time to like cram and learn how to play all the Nintendo games. And my favorite part of the whole movie, I think, is when they shoot the Nintendo Power hotline, where you could call in and ask for tips if you were stuck on a game.
Yeah.
And it's just people sitting in cubes with like binder upon binder upon binder of game, which I just love. A few years ago, there was a person who did like a AMA on Reddit where like people can ask them questions, and he was someone who had worked at the hotline and talked about the process, and that is exactly what it was. You'd call in and be like, "Hey, I'm stuck on level 6 of Castlevania," and the person could like pull out a booklet, and it was essentially like what you now know as a game walkthrough, but it was like proprietary information. Nintendo had it. They took like screenshots of the game to teach people how to tell people to get through stuff they were stuck with.
That's pretty cool.
And that's literally what it was. It was like. Yeah, except it costs like $4 a minute.
Oh, yeah. And she goes through every video game on the list, so definitely racked up like a 4-hour phone call.
Yeah, no, they're on the phone. She's like sitting by the pool on the phone, then she's like in her room on the phone, and they're just cutting around. And Fred Savage and Jimmy are playing arcade games in this casino arcade, which is just like a weird.
Yeah,
again,
I don't
know
why
optics.
Was it there.
Like,
and then we get one of my favorite things is the little kid high rollers. Wearing
yes.
big sunglasses, buying Twizzlers, keep the change, lady.
From a candy girl who's like dressed up like a cocktail waitress, but carrying like a cigarette girl thing from the 50s at movie theaters.
Yeah, it's great.
And so we have a full-on learning stuff montage where it's like Jimmy playing video games, looking catatonic, Jenny Lewis on the phone, Fred Savage eating Twizzlers, and like I like how Fred Savage manages to not have any important task to do
oh, yeah.
for this
well,
job.
And we're cutting to the guy at Nintendo Powerline.
Yeah, oh yeah, that dude is like fourth build in the movie, practically. Given
by
the
end,
his
cubicle is all binders.
he's eating a PB&J and like got 3 binders in one hand and a fourth in the other hand. And it's just like, yeah, he's just like, oh yeah, we gotta get Castlevania, jump over the thing and do the whatever.
Then creepy molester shows up.
Well, wait, before that, There's a few things in this movie that are insane. Oh, no, let me check that. There's a lot of things in this movie that are insane. But one of the most egregious is there's this random, and it's about 2.5 minutes, scene where Fred Savage has purchased Groucho Marx glasses, and he puts them on, and Jenny Lewis is like, that's dumb. And then they have like a weird little fight that doesn't advance the plot at all. It doesn't explain anything about their characters. It doesn't do anything for this movie. And then like they're fighting, and Jimmy picks them up and puts them on. And they're like, oh, you. And they like do like a...
Yeah, I don't know where that scene came from.
His head cocked to the side. I don't know. Why is it in the movie? It doesn't serve any purpose. And this movie is already over 90 minutes. So what are we doing?
Yeah, he's like, we need entertainment.
Get it out.
It's so bizarre.
Yeah, it must have been some weird subplot that got cut out of the, God forbid, 2.5 hour version of this movie. I seriously think I would rather cut off one of my own toes.
I don't know about that. I mean, I would not enjoy watching it, but I'd rather that than bodily harm.
Another hour. This movie
I hear it.
Another full hour.
So Molester Man shows up.
That's 3 Golden Girls episodes. That's 3 Golden Girls episodes.
So Molester Man shows up.
Yes.
And he's like showing one of the someone. He's like, "Have you seen my sons?"
Wait! You're jumping over the part where. Sorry,
I don't have any notes for that. Then
the molester man and Bo Bridges both stop at a truck stop, and they go in. Bo Bridges is going in to get some lunch, and the creepy molester man sees them, and he pays a tow truck driver $50 to tow Bo's truck, which is fine. I could see a tow truck driver being willing to steal a car for $50 and say like, oh, I was mistaken. Sorry. Here's your car back. I apologize.
Yeah.
Right. But Bo Bridges goes to pick the truck up and he says, oh, they're in the middle of stripping it. And they're, so he stole this man's car and is stripping it for parts for $50. That is like a super felony.
Yeah,
bro.
Super felony. It's a super slow day for this towing truck company.
Yes. Sorry. So the child molester shows up at the arcade.
And he's, like, showing someone the pictures, like, have you seen my sons? I was like, oh, that makes sense. That's why someone would tell him, because he said that they're his kids.
Yes, but he hasn't been saying that for the whole movie.
And then he sees Fred Savage and grabs him and screams in his face. And the woman who he was just talking to was like, oh, your other kid's in the arcade. And I was like, lady, do you not see what's happening?
This clearly is not the dad. It's not the father. Not the father!
So he runs into the...
Also, the cocktail waitress is wearing, like... I think a one-piece bathing suit.
Yeah, she's there at the
and,
pool.
And, like, cuffs.
They're at the pool.
No, the one inside.
Oh, yeah, yes,
the one inside is wearing... And it's that, like, high hip
Yeah, the
cut
80s cut.
That flatters no human.
The 80s
yeah,
cut.
Yeah, that flatters no
that,
woman
that,
on
it,
earth.
It
yes.
cuts all the way up to the bottom of your rib cage.
Yes.
Fred Savage grabs Jenny Lewis, and they run inside as the creepy man is, like, catches Jimmy. And proceeds to pick him up and carry him in the most conspicuous way possible.
He grabs him under one knee and under the armpits on the other side, so he's hauling him like a bag of potatoes, which is very suspicious.
Yeah, I'm
looking.
Like, how is no one trying to stop this?
And I'm freaking out because at this point I'm like, would one of you two please just yell stranger danger?
Yeah.
Like, could you please just put a stop to this? And
which
mercifully,
she does.
Jenny Lewis does.
Well, this is, to me, like, I remember this scene very much when anytime I'm like, oh, this the weird wizard movie with the scene where the girl screams, she screams and says, he touched my breast. And everyone shuts down for this.
Well, good. They should. I'm glad that, like, once in the movies we watch, someone does something right. But also, his response is, she doesn't even have breasts.
Yeah,
which,
not
like,
the right answer,
Defo
bro.
Defo is not. That guy gets hauled out of there, and the kids sneak away, and they go to Boat World, which is where Jenny Lewis lives, except that, like, there's no boats, and her dad also isn't there, but there's, like, a truck randomly rusting out behind this mobile home. It's very much Cousin Eddie's place, now that I think about it, in Vegas Vacation.
Pretty much, but it's...
like, I'm pretty sure they were neighbors.
It's just this weird, like they just jammed in as many, like, sad things as they could think of. They were like,
yeah,
it's called Boat
it's
World,
the
but there's no boats,
depressing.
And there's a rusty truck, and also there's no one around for miles, and there's just, like, an AstroTurf
yeah.
roof.
And it's also, like, full of long exterior shots that are just, like, padding out the runtime and making it so you can cut this for television.
Yep.
Like, they immediately knew they were going to watch, they wanted this on TV, and they're like, lots of commercial
Nintendo,
breaks, lots of commercial
Nintendo
breaks.
Was like, look, it's just a commercial. It's fine, guys.
But yeah, as you said, AstroTurf Roof, which is where she cries and then kisses Fred Savage.
Mm-hmm, because he calls her a lesbian.
Yeah, which, of course, is the right response. And she also, this is also the point where, like, not that I didn't notice this before, but Fred Savage has been carrying a skateboard for this entire movie.
Yeah.
Which is, like, one, deeply inconvenient. But, like, it's one of those, like, everywhere they go, he's got to haul this dumb skateboard around by one wheel. And I started thinking, like, that must have sucked for actual Fred Savage.
Oh, 100%. That's awful.
It's, like, a heavy prop, and it's not a fake skateboard. So he just hauled around a heavy-ass skateboard for a whole movie, like, a few months,
but there are scenes where, like, it just disappears apropos of nothing.
Yeah, like, he just puts it down a lot, because it's like, obviously...
No, it's like in video games when they, like, you hand someone a sword, and they're like, thank you, and then they just put it behind their back, and it disappears. Also, her saying... Jenny Lewis saying the word ain't feels so forced and, like, inorganic.
I don't remember her saying
She says it, like, five times, and every time I'm like, this sounds so weird. Like, you clearly don't know how to say the word ain't, and, like, it's not part of your vocabulary.
Well, regardless of vocab, the poor little kid gets kidnapped again by the creepy molester, and Jenny Lewis somehow is able to call four large
18-wheelers, I would think a CB radio,
and have them stop him. Okay, agreed. That would be how you would do that. Did she conjure that out of thin air with a magic wand?
Maybe. I wouldn't be surprised if it's in the mobile home. If her dad is a trucker, there might be a CB radio.
That he just, like, has a CB radio in his house?
So he can talk to his daughter when he's on the road?
I mean, they're not, like, intergalactic messaging devices. You know that, right? They're, like, short-distance communications.
I thought CB radios were, like, trucks could talk, like, across the country.
No, you talk, like, locally to other trucks.
Oh, I thought they were longer range than that.
No. It's like you're able to be like, hey, red truck, you seen any police out there? Anything I gotta look out for? Like, they have a few miles of range, but not like...
Gotcha.
Not, like, across the country. Well, anyway. Spanky?
Spanky. Yeah, Spanky. I almost tried to correct you incorrectly.
I was like, wait, no, I thought you said... Spanky and his pals stop the child molester, who gets out of the car and hears Spanky say, you touched her breasts? And he's like, oh, no. And he's like, oh, man, they're going to kick the shit out of this guy.
They are.
Like, four big truck drivers are going to beat this guy with a tire iron.
Yeah.
And I was really excited for, like, the next scene of him. I was hoping he'd be,
traction.
Like, broken, like, leg cast. Yeah, like, arm cast, leg cast, like, on a crutch with a neck brace. I was really looking forward to that. And there's just no damage at all, which is really disappointing.
Yeah, it's just a black eye, which is lame. A shiner.
Yeah, yeah. That is not the appropriate response for kid touching.
So then they show up at Universal Studios Hollywood, right?
Yeah.
For the video game Armageddon. And it's the build. The decorations are so weird. It's like they half inflated those inflatable flailing tube men and then wrap them around... wrap them around the public library set from Ghostbusters.
Well, it definitely is the library from Ghostbusters.
Yeah, because it's Universal.
But also, Universal Studios looks really low rent. Like,
it's clearly budget.
Done with permission. Yeah, but, like, they show the Frankenstein's monster and the Wolfman, like, walking around as character costumes. And then there's a couple of, like, furry characters that I can't identify. Like, one of them kind of looks like Woody Woodpecker, but in a really fucked up, like, acid trip.
They call one of them out by name, and they're like, look, it's Petey Panda. And I was like, that is not a character. You can't just say a human name and then an animal and like, act like I'm supposed to know who that is. That's not how this works, Universal. Yeah,
they're really horrifying looking, though. They're, like, really bizarre, strange looking
monsters
that are just like, yeah, but like, they're not supposed to be, I don't think. Like, the monsters are also there, but then there's these, like, weird furry felt costumes that I'm just, like, horrified by. Also, apparently, there's a video game conference called PAX, P-A-X, mm-hmm. And last year was the 25th anniversary of PAX, although it's, like, 25th total PAX, I guess. There's PAX East and PAX West now.
Yeah.
And they recreated this video game Armageddon for
them. Oh my god, did they play... Ninja Gaiden,
yes.
And then Super Mario 3?
No, they just had a Super Mario 3 competition for two people.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
So this is where it starts to get real mom. We're like, oh, they're in a tournament. And it's like, well, And then they show up and they register and it's all going on and they're in the middle of it. And I was it's like, well, wait a minute. I feel like once they start the preliminaries, you shouldn't be able to register anymore. Like, it's over. It's closed. You're done.
No. Yeah. Yeah. Also, did you notice that the guy who registered him was the guy in Seinfeld who got into the parking spot fight with George?
That was him? Oh. No, wait a minute. No, he's not. I don't think he, unless that also was the guy from, he's the portly pirate in Pirates of the Caribbean. It's the portly one and the tall, skinny one who are a pair.
Never mind.
You're right. We're both right.
Okay. I was pretty sure that was that guy. Like, he has a pretty distinct look.
I didn't know they were the same person, though. That's cool.
Yeah, yeah. Also, this competition kind of looks like The Running Man.
Yeah, it's very bizarre. It doesn't make any sense.
No.
Like, there's literally no form or function to how this works.
The gist of it that I got was, like, there were a bunch of heats, and if you won your heat, you moved on to the finals, basically. Like, there were three heats, they got three winners, and then
so they're only... But they're, like, number 247, and there were 10 screens.
Yeah, I know. So there was three rounds of 10 that whittled down to three, and somehow 427 people registered because Jimmy is number 427.
Yeah, it is ridiculous. And I'm very mom. Like, what? How? What? How? It's a video game competition.
The other mom part is the what Fred Savage and Jenny Lewis shouting, are yelling to Jimmy.
Get the power! Get the star!
Get the power up! You need the flute! Well, I guess that's later.
Hit the warp zone!
It's gibberish. It's nonsense. It's total and complete nonsense.
That's not what people do when they play video games or watch someone play video games.
So Lucas wins his way into the final. Or, I'm sorry, Jimmy and Lucas both win their way into the finals. And then they're outside.
But hey, you also forgot that Mayim Bialik also wins her way into the finals.
It wasn't Mayim Bialik.
It looks a lot like her.
I believe her name is Moira?
Something like that.
I'm glad they had a girl, to be honest with you. I was surprised that there was a girl.
I didn't like that she was like Homely McHomelyson. I was like, you made Lucas.
She basically looks like the McPoyle sister.
Like, Lucas is supposed to be kind of a dreamboat. We get that. But then why is she like a gremlin?
Yeah.
She's like the female gremlin.
Yeah. She looks like the McPoyle sister.
She does.
She has braids and a unibrow and, like, bad teeth. She's a McPoyle. So they're outside. Lucas and his buddies are outside. And Lucas has...
Apparently,
like,
Tobey Maguire is one of the buddies.
Mom? No.
Yes.
That can't be true.
Yes.
That can't be true.
It's on the Wikipedia page. It's the... Part of it says that, like, the Wizard is a 1989...
Google Tobey Maguire the Wizard and see if the image pops up. Because...
It was also Tobey Maguire's film debut.
I don't believe it.
He is uncredited as Lucas's goon at Video Armageddon.
You know, it's weird, because I thought one of those kids looked familiar, and I didn't bother looking it up.
Tobey Maguire and the Wizard. There's a whole video of it. Is he the one who talks?
All right, so Tobey Maguire's there.
Oh, no, he's not the one who talks. He's the one over his shoulder.
Well, Lucas sees the bounty hunter and is like, hey, I got that kid you're looking for, and he, like, points at him, and then Fred Savage and the other people start running away, which is bananas because the parents are there, and the parents don't stop the bounty hunter from, like, chasing their child away.
No.
Like, at this point, he's detrimental to the cause.
Well, also, why wouldn't you just run back inside the building?
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
So instead, they jump into a tram as the gates shut and climb over everyone all the way up, like, five tram cars. What?
Yeah, I don't know.
And somehow that tram turns into the King Kong ride.
Well, that's how it works at Universal LA.
Oh, really?
I don't know if it's still this way, but at one point, the majority of the attractions there were all on one line. So you got in the tram and, like, you drove through Amity and Jaws attacked you, and you drove to King Kong attacked you. Like, all of it was on one ride.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, yeah. But I have to say, as a big old theme park geek, getting to see the setup and undersides of the King Kong ride was super cool.
I mean, I worked at a theme park, so it's less exciting for me. I was more like, who is working? Why is no one guarding any of these?
But you didn't have any cool shit on the ride. Like, you worked on a roller coaster, which is a cool ride, but you didn't have any cool stuff like the King Kong animatronic. Like, that was cool. You got to see all the hydraulics and stuff.
No, but I mean, like, I've also been on, like, the Tower of Terror with all the lights on. And, like, all that
stuff.
Yeah,
but again, you had no giant gorilla, is what I'm saying. You had no giant ape. And I also, like, even the little, like, dumb little thing of to hide the bottom of King Kong, there's just black fabric because, like, the people are never going to see it, but you just need to cover it up. So I like that, like, he's furry up top and then it's just, like, sheets hanging down. I don't know. I just thought that was cool.
Also, I can, like, yeah, does no one work at this theme park? But I also can't imagine the clearance levels and safety training they all had to go through to film here. Because that is definitely a, like, you need to lock in to the board and, like, shut down the ride zone to be in, usually.
Yeah, no, and, the, like, the fire's still going off and stuff. It's, I honestly, this movie is still garbage, but that part was really cool. And then they run around and, like, climb through the windows of the building, which, again, like...
Somehow they're connected, for sure.
Just love. Well, yeah, but also, like, how much would you love to get to run around back
there?
That
would be awesome, yes.
Then they find a magic elevator just as the man gets to them, and they all, like, pile into it, and the poor guy who's running this competition is like, introducing our contestants, Lucas, and Moira, and Jimmy, crickets, and then the roof, they're like, alright, I guess we'll start the competition, and the thing lifts away, and Jimmy is just, like, leaning on the podium, like, hand on his cheek, like, elbow on the thing, like, oh, are we gonna do a competition now? I didn't know. And I love that this, like, tiny autistic boy gets to be a total badass for 2 minutes.
And it's, like, so he's, like, standing in front of a wall, the man, and he's like, let's let the competition begin! And then two side panels of the wall slide up and away, and the main panel goes up and starts to swing like a weird garage door.
It's the most complicated
way to set this up. There is a lot of production value for this weirdly established competition.
Yes, absolutely.
And so he says the big thing was like, oh, all three of our finalists will play on a level playing field because none of them have ever played this game before. It's Super Mario 3.
And everybody like hoots and hollers. But immediately, Fred Savage and Jenny Lewis start yelling out instructions.
I know, right?
They could not possibly know. They're like, get the warp zone. You don't know what that is. This doesn't exist to you.
Mom, stop just saying words you heard me say in the other room.
Jump on it. Jump
get
on it.
Get the flute. Get the star.
Yeah, she keeps telling him to get the flute. It's like, yo, dog, you didn't know that exists. But then I had an epiphany.
Yes.
Okay? I think that the reason that that's in this movie is because Nintendo knew that shit was going to be impossible for kids. And they wanted to make sure this information got out. So, like, at one point, you watch Jimmy get the secret warp thing, which is, like, something you only learned if a friend told it to you back in the day. Like, you didn't just know how... Like, why would you have tried to fly up past where you can't see and land in a magic secret place? So I think that this was on purpose. Like, they were trying to let people know that there was secrets in the game.
Maybe. But, like, there's so much... Like, Jimmy gets the Tanuki leaf that turns him into Raccoon Mario who flies and instantly knows how to fly.
Wait, you know what it's called? Yeah. You're so nerdy. Nobody knows what that's called.
My friend Ben defo knows what it's called.
I am 5 years older than you and have been playing video games for at least 5 years more than you. And I've never in my whole life ever heard anyone know what that is called.
Yeah, Ben does.
That's so nerdy. Well, Ben, you're a big old nerd.
He knows that. I tell him that.
Have a hot dog, Ben.
I tell him that.
There's a joke. There's a joke for an audience of one. Ben, I'd like you to have this hot dog. That's a joke for only you.
It's a Tanuki leaf. Tanuki Mario.
Okay, well, you're giant nerds. Just so you both know.
Well aware. My job is to pretend to be other people trip in costumes and makeup. That ship
that's
sails.
That's less nerdy than knowing what a Kanuki leaf
Tanuki.
Is. By like a
Tanuki
factor of a
with
billion.
A T.
That's what I said, Tanuki.
Oh, Kanuki. Like, it's Canadian.
Obi-Wan Kanuki leaf.
And like, so Jimmy knows to get it to, like, and how instantly to make yourself fly. What? How?
Yeah.
How?
Yeah. Yeah, there's no, like, accidental fall off a cliff moment. He just knows to do the thing. Also, trying to make drama out of this is so stupid looking. Because, like, they keep flashing to this screen where there's, like, an arrow. It's like
it's
a
like
DDR
runners.
Thing where, like, there's an arrow and points going up. Yeah, but, like, the impossibility of programming that is, like, beyond absurd. It would be so hard
also,
to do that.
Also, why is it gauged with points? Nobody ever uses points in the Mario games.
Thank you. That was what I was just going to say.
That's the
I
mom.
Have never in my I've never in my entire, like, I know that it's there, but I've always wondered, like, why is it there? What is the purpose of that?
It was like, the moms are like, oh, it's a video game. It's a point. It's points. You got to get the most points and then you win the trophy. That's how that works. You get the prize money, get the most points. So it's points. We'll do runners. There'll be people running like you're at a race, and it'll have you all your points under there, and it'll tell you who's in the lead. And I was like, what? Why? It should just be whoever gets the farthest before they die. That should be how it goes.
Well, I guess the points is more fair than that, because like the warp zones existing makes that not fair.
But the warp zones don't give you points like they do in this movie.
Right, but I'm saying if the goal is to get as far as you can, the warp zone is pretty fucked up to be allowed in the competition.
Maybe you should know about things intrinsically. Maybe you should magically know that there is going to be a warp zone.
So, big surprise, Jimmy wins the competition.
That's not how points
and
work.
Weirdly, but then, like, the part that I thought was really weird was the part where he kicked Lucas in the balls, and then he kissed Moira. Like, it was, like, a really weird turn for the movie, where he was just like, and then he punched the guy, the bounty hunter, like, he punched him right in the nose. It was, like, really, like, a weird move for the movie to take. That's not true, by the way, but I started thinking the other day, like, how easily we could just make up some stuff about some of these movies. We have never done that. I want to say clearly, flat out, we have never done that. But it occurred to me that, like, some of these movies, we could just make things up, and
writing better movies. I mean, we do write better movies, but we establish...
we establish that's us
writing them.
yeah. Lucas loses, Jimmy wins, and then the family is, like, real happy and reunited in a weird kind of Brady Bunch
way. And then mom and stepdad are like, we're taking our son home in the car, you four cram in the truck bed. So it's literally, it's Christian Slater, Jenny Lewis, Fred Savage, and Beau Bridges all in the front seat of a truck.
Yeah, it's super packed in there. And then later, there's a scene where, like, Jimmy and... Fred Savage and Jenny Lewis are riding in the back of the pickup, like, on
two
the
states.
Highway, and that is, like...
They have to go two states.
Yeah, that is super-duper not safe. Like, no way is that okay. But they make a quick stop at the dinosaur because...
Jimmy's freaking out.
Jimmy kind of freaks out, yeah. And then they realize that, like, he had this picture of the family at this dinosaur and, like, really wanted to, like, leave his sister's memories there, which is, like, kind of a sweet... I mean, it's a terrible movie, but it's a sweet little moment. And he, like, leaves behind this little treasure trove of her stuff.
You know where that treasure trove ends up? The lost and found.
In the garbage can. Oh, I mean, the garbage can. Let's be honest.
I don't think so.
It's not saying that lost and found.
Oh, no, not in... It might be there eventually, but yeah.
Yeah. What are your final thoughts on The Wizard?
It holds up better than I thought it would. Like, it's not the most garbage thing we've ever watched.
No, it's not the most garbage thing we've ever watched, but that's damning with faint praise if it ever existed.
Basically, like, if anyone else has ever watched this movie as a kid, which I don't think anyone did, but if you did, it's worth a rewatch.
Oh, I highly disagree. I highly, highly, highly disagree. This movie is... The only thing in this movie that's worth your time is the scene with the power glove, which I'm sure is on YouTube, and the scene with the behind-the-scenes of the King Kong ride at Universal Studios.
I don't know. I think if you watched it as a kid and you're like, I remember that kind of fondly. Go ahead and watch it again.
If it was 15 minutes shorter, if it was like 85 minutes, I would agree with you. But it's like just too.
It's 90
just
minutes.
Too many, it's 100 minutes.
It's not an even 100. It's like...
Okay, it's like 97. But like, it's just too long. Like, this movie needs to be like right around 82, 85. There's one too many scenes of Beau Bridges and the bounty hunter getting into a fight. There's more than one scene with that, like, Groucho Marx glasses where it's like, what? This shouldn't even be in the movie. Why is this here? It repeats a lot, and it gets annoying to me. Like, there's only so many times I can watch them narrowly escape the bounty hunter before I'm like, okay, I get the point of the bounty hunter. Get to the competition.
Yeah, we didn't need him getting kidnapped the second time and getting rescued by the truckers.
Yeah, no. That entire thing could have been cut out of the movie. They could have been like, oh, that was a close one. We better get our asses to the competition. Zoop, and they're there. Like, cut that out. Get me out of here in 82 minutes. This is a garbage movie. You're trying to sell me the power glove. Thank you guys so much for listening to the show. We really, really appreciate that. There's one more thing we're going to ask of you, though. I know it seems like a burden, and we keep asking, but please rate and review the show, particularly on iTunes. That helps us a lot with the reach. The more that we have there, the more people get to see our show, and the more people get to listen to us. But more importantly than that, I think if you like the show, tell two friends. Like, we've said that before in the past, that we kind of go away from it sometimes. But, you know, that's the best way to hear about stuff. There's a movement NPR is working on for the month of March, and I know we're pretty much out of the month of March, but who cares? If you like our show, why don't you post about it with the hashtag Tripod, TRYPOD, and let people know an episode that you liked, because that's the best way to hear about podcasts. I know that, like, I listened to, like, 50 podcasts, and of them, like, 40 of them were recommended to me by someone either in person or online or something. So if you like our show, tell other people that you like our show and recommend it. And, yeah, that's the best way to hear about new stuff. So tell your friends if you like our show. We really appreciate that. If you want more from us, dissectingthe80s.com has everything you'd ever want to know. We're also on social media. It's at dissectingthe80s on Facebook and Instagram. It's at dissectomania on Twitter, slightly different. And if you want to call and leave us a message, it's 856-D-I-S-S-E-C-T. Andrew is programming the month of April on the show, so why don't you tell the audience and me what the first episode in April is going
to
be?
Pun name for the April programming to be determined. But next, we are bringing Jenny Lewis along for another she's in this in the next movie. With Shelley Long in Troop Beverly Hills, which is the movie our brother likes and our mother hates.
So that's interesting that we did the King Kong Lives, and then we did this, which King has Kong the King it. Kong in it, and now we're connecting to Jenny Lewis. So maybe we have to bridge.
We have to chain.
Yeah, it's 7 degrees of Kevin Bacon, but it's every episode of our podcast is linearly connected.
I think that'd be a fun experiment.
Yeah, I also might kill us.
Yes.
We might die. Our eyeballs might fall just flat out of our head.
I've asked Mom why she hates this movie, hates Troop Beverly Hills, because I was like, it's a very innocuous movie. Like, it's not offensive. Like, there's nothing about it that you're like, oh, God. And
yeah,
I was
what
is it about Troop Beverly Hills that you hate? And she's like, oh, it's just so bad. And I was like, I don't know if your metric of bad. Okay.
I've never seen it, so
I've seen it once upon a dream.
Okay. Well, we will see you on April 10th for Troop Beverly Hills. Thank you again for listening to our show. We really appreciate it. I have been Trip Lano.
I am always Andrew Lano.
And until April 10th.
Don't you forget about me.
Dissecting the 80s is a Chum Some of This production.